Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Well, we always promise you a great show, and we are not going to let you down today here, Ray and Brad, at The Advertising Show. With a very special guest, Carl Izzy, out of Michigan, Detroit, Michigan. Actually, Southfield, if you want to be perfectly appointed there. Marketing and advertising professional with expertise in digital relationship marketing and targeted mass communications. 20-year sales career spans sales, marketing, and advertising in the United States and the Latin American market. So we'll talk to Carl here in just a moment. Carl is also, by the way, a president of Global Hue. Next, the agency's groundbreaking total market division and member of Global Hue's executive committee. More about that in just a moment. Advertising Show being brought to you by Advertising Age magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a copyrighted Big Radio Midgets production. And we've got just a few moments. Our global reporter, Jeremy Kent, is with us for another update from what's going on across the way there. So we'll check in with Jeremy in just a moment. And a little bit later on this hour, Gene Bliss is really hot on this organization. It makes me want to buy one of their bikes or just go to one of their stores, Zane's Cycles. They do incredible things to take incredibly good care of their customers, which is why they are so successful. And there's possibly a lesson in there for you if you're in business or such. So, well, that's the whole show. We invite you to stay right here with Ray and Brad.
You've never forgiven me for removing the seat on that bike that you used to ride in that one day.
No,
got up real early to ride it and
changed my life.
Never really recovered from that accident, have you?
No, the doctors say that I never will, actually.
I'm sorry.
But boy, no comments beyond that. That's the way it goes.
Hey, Ray, let me mention real quick that associate producer Varanji Vora and both her and Ariel Santian done fabulous jobs as helping us out with our digital media effort and certain social media efforts as well. And I just wanted to remind everyone to go to join us on Facebook or Twitter, follow us on Twitter at The Ad Show would be a great place to find us. And just a reminder, you can always catch us at iTunes and subscribe to our show there. So I just want to get all that promotional stuff out of the way.
And speaking of social media, there is now a social site for people with STDs. A social disease. So I'm happy to report that. It's true.
It's true.
Good news out of U.S. media advertising revenue forecast. Let's hope it's good news because it's been like lousy news for the past couple of years. This Magna forecast, it's called the Magna Ad Forecast, said it expects media supplies to generate $164.5 billion of advertising revenue during 2010. I like that. On the back of continued improvements in the economy and increased of likelihood of sustained growth in the near term, it forecasts that excluding political and Olympic advertising on TV, a normalized basis, the U.S. advertising economy will grow by 1.6% during 2010 ahead of the prior year forecast, including political and Olympic advertising 3% industry growth. It said that as expectations for the broader economy have improved over an extended time frame as well, we're increasing our long-term forecast, now expecting growth to average 3.5 between 2010 and 2015, up from 2.3% previously. Among the various sectors, TV remains the largest advertising platform in the United States, $56 billion in total advertising revenues during 2010. Online advertising will once again prove to be the fastest-growing medium during 2010, paid search alone rising 16.8%, local media generally likely to perform better than they had previously forecast as well.
I hope.
Yeah, me too. And we were talking with a lot of folks in the industry, and we see them on a daily basis, being radio-specific. Radio, and I don't think this is a BS technique. I think this is more of a reality. I see radio as is really catching on fire here. And it didn't just happen here in the second quarter as we come up to that. It started in the first quarter. And I think that is really, really interesting, considering where we were at. So if this is true, if this Magna report is true, and I certainly hope it is, things are going to be a lot better this year for a lot of folks. And that's good news. That's wonderful news.
Q1 is not traditionally, I think what you're saying is not traditionally an uptick quarter. And you're saying you're seeing a lot of activity in radio for first quarter of 2010, which is favorable. Let me mention also, as we lead into our correspondent, Jeremy Kent. Jeremy's going to be a guest on the show in a few weeks after Scott Donatan. And so if you like what you hear on his reports, we're going to spend an entire show featuring him as our guest. Jeremy has another life as an ad guy, and we'll talk to him out of London, and it'll be a fun time.
That'll be good, and I hope he's paying for it, too. On the advertising show, it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Here's Jeremy.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Kent, and welcome to the European News Desk. This week, Chevrolet launches a branded music tour, there's good news from Zenith Optimedia, and is online shopping set to overtake the high street? Despite its GM parent, Chevrolet is a relatively small brand in Europe, and in a departure from the usual, Chevrolet has just launched its new Spark City car through an unusual pop-up branded music tour across the UK. The tour features indie band The Mystery Jets travelling to a number of British cities. Consumers can log on to the dedicated Spark Unscheduled microsite and vote for where in the city they would like the gig to take place, as well as apply for free tickets. The first performance was on April the 8th and took place in the Vinyl Factory in Soho, central London. Good news on the economy keeps on coming, and Zenith Optimedia has upgraded its UK and global ad spend forecast for 2010. Just before Christmas, the media agency had forecast a drop of 2% for this year, but it is now predicting a rise of 1.3% to £10.8 billion. It's good news for TV too, with Zenith forecasting a 7% rise in revenues for the first quarter and a 16% year-on-year rise for Q2. Growth is predicted to return to the whole of Western Europe, but the pace is a lowly 0.4%. Zenith's new figures follow hot on the heels of revised forecasts from CARA, which suggested that ad spend would grow by 2.9% both globally and in the UK. Could online shopping be set to overtake traditional stores? New research from communications agency LikeMind and Vision Critical revealed that 90% of UK consumers searched for their latest purchase online, and that 48% of those polled said they received a better level of service online compared to the in-store experience. This was particularly true in those over 55, while 66% of all respondents said they had changed their minds about making a purchase because of the poor service they received in store. Finally, the UK car market is beginning to bounce back, with figures from the Society for Motor Manufacturers and Traders showing that new registrations were up 27% in March. Even the troubled Toyota brand recorded a year-on-year rise of 15.4%, but the real impact of those damaging recall stories may not be seen for many months yet. To fight the negative press, Toyota launched a new above-the-line campaign by Saatchi & Saatchi to reassure consumers that it is more committed to quality than ever before. This is Jeremy Kent in Europe for The Advertising Show.
Jeremy Kent, as always, a pleasure here with having you here at The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Carl Izzy told you a little bit about Carl, president of Global Hue, and the web address, by the way, is globalhue.com. Well, to find out a little bit more about what he has been up to and what he is doing currently with Global Hue. You know, he's worked with, the SVP Group, account director, managing the agency's relationship with Chrysler, Jeep, and Dodge, and a lot more as well. So if you stay right here, we'll come back and talk to Carl on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
We didn't create Rebus, the best advertising agency software application, overnight. It took us about 20 years of refinement, with the help of over 400 of our customers worldwide. From CRM estimating and timesheet entry to a full accounting package, Rebus Software is a fully integrated and user-friendly platform that will make your staff more efficient and your agency more profitable. And because Rebus is an energetic, multilingual, and multicultural company, we can respond quickly to your specific needs from the U.S. to the U.K., Spain, Italy, and Australia. Rebus, refined and proven effective by advertising agencies around the world. Want to find out how Rebus can work for your agency? Schedule a live online demo right now. Go to rebus-software.com. rebus-software.com. The live online demo is free. The results go directly to your agency's bottom line. rebus-software.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Welcome back. Ray and Brad here at The Advertising Show. Carl Izzy is our very special guest. Carl is president of Global Hue. GlobalHue.com is the website out of Michigan. And Carl, it is a sincere pleasure to have you here at The Advertising Show. Welcome.
Thank you.
And by the way, that's Hue, H-U-E, so check it out, globalhue.com. Let's start us off, Carl. Global Hue is a known leader in cultural-based marketing. Tell us a little bit about your firm's areas of practice and the services you offer your clients.
Well, we have essentially four groups here. We've been the longtime leaders in African-American, Hispanic, and Asian marketing, which are the core areas of our practice. And in 2008, we started to look at some of the changes in our markets, and we added a fourth practice area, which is Global Hue Next. And Global Hue Next is the area that I'm responsible for. We're part of the team that's dedicated to expanding Global Hue's footprint beyond the traditional ethnic segments that we've served. And as you may know, Global Hue now has agency of record assignments that go beyond multicultural into all consumer segments for brands like Jeep, Bermuda Tourism, and MGM Casino Detroit. So essentially, as our audiences are growing and changing, so are we.
Well, you know, you strike a chord totally off script here as you describe your company. What are your thoughts on all the hubbub that's been going on for years within the ad agency business and the concern about the multicultural mix or lack thereof of the people that are creating advertising these days?
Well, I think it's far better to be in Global Hue's shoes than it is to be at some firms that are less diverse. And from our perspective, the diversity that we have is a true strength. We're very representative of what we consider the new America, which is an ethnically and culturally very diverse America. I think there are a lot of changes that are still to come in the industry as far as how, quote-unquote, general market agency staff. And part of that is really trying to attract people into the industry from all walks of life. I think it's going to continue to be a discussion point. And I think that as brands continue to see the changes, and the 2010 census will again illustrate those changes, they'll demand, it'll become an imperative for their agency partners to make sure that they're representing many different cultures.
Yeah, I think it's odd that in 2010 that you know, those that are out creating Madison Avenue, Chicago, L.A., wherever, creating messaging for the general population does not have a reflection of the general population mix, ethnically speaking. But we won't spend time talking about that here today.
It's even odd discussing it. It shouldn't be happening, basically.
Well, it's odd that we're still talking about it in 2010. But in any event, I'll leave that for the publications to editorialize on. Earlier this year, we came to know you through Ad Age CMO strategy article entitled A Primer on the New America for CMOs. And you say early on in your piece that a recent Ad Age white paper confirms what we, I think, already knew about the impending 2010 U.S. Census data due out, by the way. I guess census forms are due back here just the past April 16th. So to get us started, share with us some of the key findings you expect to come from the new census data and what you, as you say, already knew about the consumer market in 2010.
Well, you know, thinking back to the census 2000, I mean, the census 2000 was a watershed moment for a lot of brands in realizing that multicultural marketing was a business imperative. If it hadn't been before, particularly the growth rates in the Hispanic market drove a lot of brands to reallocate funds towards tapping what they were considering our emerging markets. And so as we come into the 2010 census, we expect that that will again raise the level of collective consciousness about how rapidly these populations are growing. Already in between censuses, the census has said, hey, our estimations for majority multicultural America for 2050 are now being revised to make it for 2042. So I think there will be more surprises on the upside in terms of just how diverse America really is. What we really expect is going to come out of the census, and Ad Age, I think, did a great job in tipping their hat to this, is the complexity. This is they have some wonderful quotes in the primer. The concept of the average American is gone forever, and average America has been replaced by a complex, multidimensional society that defies simplistic labeling. And I think when we look at the census, at what we expect to see from the census, we not only expect to see a tremendous amount of ethnic market growth, but we also expect that the numbers will accentuate the complexity of the world that we live in right now. When we look at already the top 10, the top two states in terms of population in the United States and the top 10 markets are majority-minority, we're looking at what the effect of these numbers are going to mean. Is it that brands are going to say, hey, there's much more Hispanic growth and we need to allocate more money towards these emerging markets? Or is it also going to be we have to really reevaluate the way that we go to business in our general market because we're dealing with majority-minority populations as a whole?
Well, many brands have already begun to find new ways to connect to a growing diverse consumer market. Yet you say segmentation isn't enough and that a bigger change is emerging than simply a shift in demography. Talk a little bit about what you mean by this and describe some of the changes you see coming up, Carl.
Well, it's really like there's a, you know, perfect storm is a term that's overused, but there are a confluence of factors that are coming into play. So not only do you have massive growth in terms of immigrant populations, particularly Hispanic, against a backdrop of much more advanced technological communications platforms that allow people to live in a very bicultural way because they can connect to home countries, they can travel easily, there are huge media infrastructures to support retaining elements of their home culture. So in addition to the demographic growth, there is also the fact that that technology is playing playing a part in how people are becoming exposed to information, and so are other factors in terms of what sociologists would call postmodern transformation and the ability for people to feel much more individualistic and define themselves in multiple ways. So when we look at it as not only simple growth, but we look at the fact that there's diversity not only in the market, but within individual consumers. Consumers feel much more empowered in the absence of a mainstream America and corresponding counterculture, the kind of like the established cultures that my generation grew up with. These consumers are finding an ability to define themselves in very different ways, and it suggests a lot more complexity for marketers who are trying to bucket people in some of the traditional segmentation approaches that have been in the market as a whole. It's either been generational or household income, et cetera.
Our guest on the advertising show today is Carl Izzy. Carl is president of Global Hue Next, the agency's groundbreaking Total Market Division, a member of the Global Hughes Executive Committee. We continue our conversation with Carl out of Detroit area in just a few moments here on the Advertising Show. Look away.
Why do more media professionals read iWantMedia.com? iWantMedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iWantMedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iWantMedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iWantMedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet.
Welcome back. Ray Schillings, Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show with our special guest this weekend, Carl Izzy, out of the Detroit area and at Global Hue. GlobalHue.com is the website if you'd like to check out that. But in the meantime, we continue with our interview. Carl, it's good to have you here. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Staying with the thought there you were sharing with us just before the break, you're quoted as saying the days of mainstream culture and counterculture are gone, which I found is a bit of a bold statement, Carl. Do you think Snoop Dogg would agree with you, since he seems to have crossed over to a broader appeal. I mean, you know, I saw Snoop on Larry King the other day, which kind of made me realize that...
Which totally doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe there is no counterculture anymore.
I don't know what you define as counterculture. I think some of the you know, it's hard to look at a society where gay marriage and medical marijuana stores on the corner and my lawyer with a 3 foot length of rock band hair and a professional suit. It's very difficult to say what's counterculture and what's not these days.
True.
But I think that what we approach that, and when we make the statement, we're doing it with some backing. We just concluded a study of over 8,000 people with nearly 200 questions across all ethnic segments of America. And we basically concluded that there's a tremendous amount of differentiation and that the United States has many different groups. We actually isolated 32 subsegments across the four ethnic groups, African American, Hispanic, Asian, and non-Hispanic white. And there's some real strength in many of those subsegments, and it's very hard to say that there's one homogenous society that or culture that people ascribe to.
Yeah, you know, I guess at one time we're all old enough to remember that if you just had your hair slightly over your collar, you were considered a counterculture. And when I use Snoop Dogg and him appearing on Larry King as an example, it's to support your point. I think that, you know, I don't know how you become counterculture anymore. I mean, whether it's a wire through your nose or, you know, something, you know, a tattoo across your eye, thank you, Mike Tyson, or what, that these days pretty much, you know, everything is pretty accepted in terms of both cultural differences and behavior and so forth.
I think what we're seeing from a research standpoint is that consumers have internalized that, and consumers feel, and this is what social or cultural anthropologists like Grant McCracken would say is post-transformation, where people really do feel that they have an ability, and it's not a conscious, but it's an unconscious feeling that they can grab bits and pieces of culture and make it part of their own. And we look at that, obviously, from an ethnic standpoint first, where we look particularly at the large number of bicultural, bilingual Hispanics in the United States, and we look at what we're calling cultural hybridity as coming from two forces. One is really circumstantial, where people may have been born in another country and retaining some of their culture. And then there's some by choice, where you aren't really defined by the town you grew up in and the people that you sat with in the lunchroom anymore. Particularly the digital media landscape has given people access to tremendous amounts of information and to affinity groups that they can then make their own. And what we find is that hybridity takes a lot of different forms, and it's very complex for marketers. For example, let's take the example of a 30-year-old male who was born to Hispanic parents in Miami and who now lives in New York and loves anime and drift racing, Afropunk, and Forex trading, and is at heart a gamer. That person may have a media profile that's akin to a 13-year-old boy from Great Britain. Well, he may be totally different from his next-door neighbor who also shares the same household income and is also considered a professional. So we look at that as being, you know, back to your earlier question about segmentation, a real challenge for marketers to understand how to approach marketing. And we think that the dynamic of allocating dollars from a brand standpoint towards targeted ethnic marketing and then a general market is a dynamic that's going to change. Our research has shown us that it's much more likely that we're going to be looking to try and find commonalities that represent real engagement points between brands and consumers based on real strong insights, and then also understanding where there still are points of differentiation and applying that to a multicultural marketing model.
Well, I'm going to hold off because next segment I want to talk a little bit about those cultural connection points that you just referred to, and we don't quite have enough time to get into it this segment, so I'll save it till next. All right?
Sounds like a plan. On the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, Carl Izzy out of Michigan. It's the Detroit area, and we'll continue the conversation here in just a moment at the Advertising Show. Stay right here.
smart marketers are discovering a new and better way to get creative solutions. One company got solutions for a corporate identity program in less than 36 hours. The second got solutions for a public relations campaign that won 2 international creative awards. The third got solutions for a direct marketing campaign that got a 30% response rate. These marketers are finding creative solutions in a better way, the open ad way. You go to openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 creators. Within days, you get 20 or more creative solutions, and you pay only for the solutions you use. It's a radical new idea. You owe it to yourself to discover what it can mean to have creative solutions on demand. Find out now by going to openad.net, openad.net. Creative solutions on demand.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth.
One final segment with our special guest today, Carl Izzy, out of the Detroit area. Global Hue Next, globalhue.com is the website. And Carl, it's a pleasure having you here today. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And we did have a Boston cream pie, by the way, in the green room for Carl today, originally out of Boston, but today in Michigan we're talking to him. Yeah. You know, Ray, Ray and I, Carl, we're talking about this part of your article before you came on the show today, and we both found it very interesting. And the fact that you say there's a greater need today to get under the hood of visible consumer behaviors to understand emerging cultural connection points. What advice can you share with us to better understand the concept of emerging cultural connection points for both multicultural as well as traditional general market efforts?
Well, the multicultural industry and the role of multicultural agencies has been to isolate culturally relevant insights to an ethnicity and understand how to make a connection point between the brand's message and a consumer group based on those. And as we see the fragmentation of those markets and indeed the fragmentation of the markets overall, we're reminded that the principle still applies, which is understanding cultural relevance. But we're also working with our clients to find new ways to do that, ways where the brands can look at real consumer connection points given the economic and the social and the political backdrops that drive so many consumer decisions and understanding where there are real points of convergence and divergence. The study that I mentioned before, which we're about to announce, this is essentially a little bit of a preview, one of the things that we did to answer your question was to plot our segments, the 32 segments that we isolated, in essentially a graph that shows consumers ranging from pessimistic to optimistic and disengaged to engaged. And what we find by doing that is, and by doing it within that, doing it by ethnicity, is we get a very, very strong understanding of the backdrop that consumers are experiencing when they make decisions about when to purchase and what brands they're going to consider and how they're going to spend their money, and that's what's important to our clients. So by looking at that, we feel that we are delivering to our clients an ability to understand the backdrop for how messaging is going to be received and also uncovering opportunities to align specific products to specific segments. For example, as we look at that segmentation, we see that older African Americans are among the most optimistic and engaged of the consumer groups that we identified, more so than non-Hispanic whites, Hispanics, or Asians. Those consumers are very likely to respond favorably to messaging that's positive, that's aspirational, that reflects some of what they feel they've achieved in life. On the sort of polar opposite end of that are traditional non-Hispanic white conservatives who are very pessimistic and very disengaged in terms of how they feel their lives are progressing and where the country is going. And they may respond more favorably to, for example, messaging that's nostalgic or brings them back to a time that was happier.
You know, I want to direct our listeners to visit refresheverything.com, which is Pepsi's Refresh Project. And what a great example of how to culturally connect with your consumer. You want to talk a little bit about the site and what it's all about?
Well, I can speak to the Pepsi campaign generally, and I think that what I was just talking about, I think Pepsi is a classic example. If you think again about our continuum of pessimistic, disengaged, and optimistic, engaged, Pepsi is really keying in on a cultural insight that goes beyond the boundaries of ethnicity. Essentially, they're talking to people who understand that the backdrop for the country is very difficult, and for a lot of people personally, it's very difficult. And whether you're optimistic and feeling like your lives are is going pretty well, but you understand that other people's aren't, or you're feeling like things aren't going your way and you want to appreciate a brand that is doing something about it, I think Pepsi's hit it on the head by offering people the opportunity to co-create ideas that are going to have a material impact on their communities, and then by obviously supplying some funding to help people get those ideas into play.
You know, I just want to get your take, since we have you. You deal with numbers and data and cultural, new cultural insights and so forth. I want to get your take on the criticism of the wording of a few of the questions that's been received of the 2010 census. In particular, question number 9 seems to have a lot of people feeling a bit sensitive. The question is, what is your race? And the options were black, African-American, and Negro. Some say the word Negro is not racially sensitive. I think I would agree with that. Question 8 asks about Latino heritage and uses the word Chicano. Should we really be, you know, dealing with this kind of stuff in 2010 as far as how to create a questionnaire for our census these days?
Well, you know, I think that the census overall is a fairly ambitious project, and I should take the time to mention that Global Hue has participated as one of the agencies of record in the census initiatives this year. I think that, you know, there are always nuances when it comes to understanding how to put a label on people, and essentially what the census is all about is trying to categorize people in ways that are going to make sense and be useful in terms of counting. And on one hand, I understand the criticisms. On the other hand, I understand the need to try and find labels that accurately represent who people are. And I've heard here, and you know, I work in one of the most diverse businesses in the United States, period, in our firm, and I've heard people both say that they'd rather have seen other terms, and I've heard a lot of people say that they don't mind.
Well, I guess I'm trying to figure out what you would gain by insights to a person that checks the black box versus the African-American box versus
that's
the Negro
very
box.
Good, that's a valid point, yeah.
Well, one of the things that we're looking at, for example, in again, going back to the study, when we look at the African-American population, there are approximately 11% of the black population in the country is not African-American but is Caribbean descent.
Okay.
And I think that maybe it should have said Caribbean descent rather than black. I could tell you that if anybody that says Negro, they're probably of an older African-American. Anyone that refers to black's probably mid-age, and African-American tends to be the younger black, if you will. So I think you could learn a lot just by looking at age group as opposed to suggesting that you check a box on that kind of thing. But I guess that's just my thoughts, and they have their thoughts, and you have yours, Carl.
That's right.
There you go. Carl, we are just about out of time here. Fascinating stuff. I mean, if you didn't think advertising and finding the right ears, eyes, and respondents was tough before, it's a little bit more finite than just some of the things that advertising practitioners do. So this is really cool stuff, Carl. I want to point out the website again, globalhue.com. And you're with the Global Hue Next initiative as well as what we're talking about today. But, Carl, it's been fascinating, and we wish you the best. And enjoy the summer there in Michigan. It probably will last all the way through July, I'm sure.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me.
On the Advertising Show, Ray and Brad back with more in just a moment. Hang in there.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
Back on The Advertising Show, Ray Schillins, Brad Forsyth. Thanks to Carl Izzy out of the Detroit area. Carl actually lives in a really nice community called Rochester. And
Rochester.
Yeah, it was actually settled, that whole area, Troy, Rochester, settled by the folks from upstate New York. They just took all the cities, the names of the streets, and moved them from New York, and they copied them over in Michigan. I know that because I'm familiar with the history and the lore of that area, living in Troy, Michigan, for a couple of years, way back when. But anyway, nice to have Carl, and we've got Scott Donaton coming up next week. Scott is president and CEO of Ensemble, and we are going to find out what Scott is up to these days. Scott, of course, was with Advertising Age many moons ago, and that's how we know Scott. So we'll be having a chance to talk with Scott here next week on The Advertising Show. Walmart, it seems, is getting into just about everything. And now they're in the phone business. They're launching a national ad push. It's from the Martin Agency, touting $850 in savings a year. Basically wants to make sure that you save some money there. The retailer claims that if cell phone users switch to Straight Talk, which is the name of the plan, the wireless brand that retails exclusively at the Walmart stores, it can add up to over $850 in savings a year. Of course, there's fine print that goes along with that, but if it's, I guess it's worth looking at here. So,
And the greeters there at Walmart will always say when you're leaving and using that phone, thanks for listening and talking on your Walmart smartphone.
Yeah, something like that. So it's good. Why not? Walmart's doing an okay job, though, aren't they, as far as getting the word out and really converting a lot of naysayers, you know, the people who really didn't take them seriously from an overall perspective and were a little bit jaded in that regard. But my goodness, Walmart's doing a pretty good job of capturing a large segment of folks as far as the brand goes. So congratulations, Walmart. You're doing it. I'm sure Sam Walton would be very proud if he knew what was going on, and I'm sure he does. We have Gene Bliss, and Gene always talks about great companies. Why? Because you can learn something from a great company. This one in particular is Zane's Cycles. Something about a warranty, I think she's talking about today. Let's listen.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Most guarantees put the monkey on the customer's back to manage a countdown clock on product happiness. They put a limit on the time customers have to return a product after its purchase. That enforced timeline creates a transaction-based relationship with customers as they measure happiness, one purchase at a time. Zane's Cycles decided to guarantee the happiness of the customer relationship instead. They threw out the clock. The Zane's guarantee says, we are going to live up to our promises no matter what the timing, no matter what the product or service. These practices earned Zane's Cycles $13 million in sales of bikes and parts from a single store. Companies who understand their customers' lives grow their business and earn the right to customers telling their story to everyone they know. Does your experience have an expiration date? Do your service offerings put the monkey on customers' backs to keep track of when and how they can get help from you, redeem points, or take advantage of your warranty? What part of your experience can you guarantee to give your customers trouble-free peace of mind?
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
I get a kick out of hearing stories like that, especially because there are so many businesses, so many, yours included, that are so off the mark in terms of caring for customers and really counting on the fact that, hey, listen, if we're not shopping there, nobody else probably is either.
So quit whining and do it right, like Saint Cycles, okay? Better you go get the book so you can do it even better. Thanks to Carl Izzy, our special guest this week on the advertising show, GlobalHue.com. We're kind of a global company ourselves here at the advertising show, a copyrighted Big Radio Midgets production. And we invite you to find us all over the place, including Facebook and Twitter and such. And, of course, we know how to do that, don't we? The Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit online at adage.com. Don't forget, next week it is Scott Donatan going to be joining us, who is president and CEO of Ensemble. Here at the Advertising Show with Ray and Brad. See you next week.